triumph.
Praise the Lord. Death cannot hold the resurrection life. Amen. The life of God eternal manifest. Amen. 'Tis uncreated, indestructible. 'Tis Christ himself. Oh, unconquerable express. Amen. Young people, this is such a marvelous message to enter into. Christ's resurrection is the wonderful antidote to so many of our own situations. Our burden tonight is for you to actually come into this subjective experience. So just, that you could come and know this and bring Christ into every single one of your situations. Amen. So perhaps let's get into the outline and read Roman numeral 1. The raising of the man Jesus Christ shows God's approval of his person and work. God vindicated Christ's crucifixion by raising him up from the dead. Amen. Oh, so we saw in the last message that Christ had this all-efficacious death. And now that he's risen, now that he's been resurrected, this shows us, just a marvelous, marvelous, Lord, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, Lord, God's approval of his person and work. So this means that this unique man who lived the perfect human life, it was approved by God. And that approval means that the receipt of that approval means that the receipt of this approval is his resurrection. So for us, that means that this means that we can stand on this marvelous fact. And I just couldn't help but recollect this other hymn, hymn 303. Nor silver nor gold hath obtained thy redemption, no riches of earth could have saved my poor soul. The blood of the cross is my only foundation. The death of my Savior now maketh me whole. I am redeemed, but not with silver. I am bought, but not with gold. Bought with the price, the blood of Jesus, precious price of love untold. Amen. We've been redeemed. We don't have to worry about God's approval because someone has gone ahead of us and purchased us for himself. And because of that, we can receive his resurrection life within us. Just think of all the applications of this particular one. Maybe we'll get into this next Roman numeral. 2, since he is such an ever-living one, death is not able to keep him. Amen. He delivered himself to death, but death had no way to hold him. Death had no way to hold him. As he died and he lived there in death in Hades for 3 days, death was not able to keep him buried in that situation. He gained the power over death through the keys. Right now I have this key over here. This key is for the meeting hall. This will become a little bit more important in a few moments, but this is a brass key for us to get into it. But Christ, through his resurrection, he overcame. During his perfect human life, he was tested. He was tempted. But even when he died and he was persecuted, death could not hold him. He overcame every single obstacle. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. I just consider our own situation. Have we gone through? Do you not have your own set of anxieties? These last 18 months have been a lot of isolation. Have you not felt lonely in some respects, staying inside? I'm a bit more introverted, but I would say about 12 months into the pandemic, I was just a little bit on edge. But, all these anxious thoughts, Lord, maybe for some of you that missed out on so many different events, some of you may have graduated from your middle schools. Some of you may have even just missed out on being with your friends. Maybe you're even thinking about the anxieties that are happening ahead of you. Like, what is my future going to hold now that I can't attend some of my classes? All these thoughts, all these anxious things. Oh, we can give them to Christ. Oh, we can enter into this resurrection life. Amen. Oh, Lord. Maybe let's have sisters read point A and then brothers read point B. Amen. It's resurrection. The Lord Jesus also took away the authority of death and Hades. Death is subject to him, and Hades is under his control. B, brothers, Christ's resurrection is also a testimony of his victory over Satan and the world. The Lord took care not only of Satan, but also of Satan's system, the world. Amen. Oh, Lord. Just these supporting verses are also so dear and sweet. Under Revelation 1:17, and I'll just read it out to you. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he placed his right hand on me, saying, "Do not fear. I am the first and the last and the living one. And I became dead. And behold, I am living forever and ever. And I have the keys of death and of Hades." So death, next to the Lord himself, death is the second greatest power in this universe, but it's only the second. So for this example, though, I think I need a demonstration. We're going to take advantage of the fact that we're in person at the hall. Nathan, I asked you earlier, so we're going to kind of call over there. You still have me on mic. And then AV Saints, if you could get my camera over here ready and maybe spotlit. Nathan? I think we're going to demonstrate just a quick thing over here. And maybe, can you turn on the camera? Ooh, I better turn that on. Amen. Let's do later. Okay. Hey, there we go. Come on, Nathan. Amen. The meeting hall. Yeah. We're over here, but there's this wonderful glass door on this side. So let's take a look. So Nathan, come with me. Okay. Let's pretend this is outside in Hades. Okay. I think this door is locked. I believe the door is locked over here. Nathan's out there right now, so we can see him. So here we go, Nathan. I'm going to give you the keys. Just stay there. Okay. So. What does it say in Revelation 1:17-18? Maybe we could have the saints over in the room do it, and maybe turn on the other mic, Josh. Amen. Revelation 1:17-18, or just 18. Let's read Revelation 1:18 with a strong, exercised spirit. Amen. Maybe we'll pull it up.
Do not fear. I am the first and the last.
Amen.
And the living one.
Amen.
And I became dead.
Amen.
And behold, I am living forever and ever.
Amen.
And I have the keys of death and of Hades.
Amen. Nathan came in from outside. Isn't this what Christ did? This is what Christ did for us. Thank you, Nathan. We're going to go back. Actually, let's lock the door again. Lock the door and come back in. Okay. I'll ask for that key a little bit later. Actually, Nathan, just come in. Just take the key and come back in. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. All right, we'll spotlight the Hall 1 camera again, please. Amen. Well, yes, this is praise the Lord. He came in from death, could not hold him anymore. That's the key that he unlocked. Nathan opened that door and came in. Christ himself, when he was in Hades, no longer didn't have the power of death, Hades, and the world keep him locked up. The Lord overcame that, and he could also come into the situation. Oh, Lord. Young people, for ourselves, have we let the Lord into our situation? Oh, Lord, all the anxieties that we have, do we let the Lord operate and come on in? Or do we try to keep it in? Oh, praise the Lord, we are a tripartite being. Every one of us has received the Lord, and he's living inside of us. And we can use the functions of our spirit to contact him and bring Christ, his resurrection life, into our situation. Amen. So In our anxieties and everything. This other hymn is just so precious. Hymn number, I have a song I love to sing, 302. Oh, I have a song I love to sing since I have been redeemed of my Redeemer, Savior, King, since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in his name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in the Savior's name. Amen. We can glory in the Savior's name. Amen. When we call on the name of the Lord Jesus, we get the person of that name. We get him to come in from death. We get him to come into our situation and exercise his overcoming life in everything that we do. Oh, praise the Lord. And it's just a marvelous fact. The other parts of his resurrection means that this person was no longer limited to just one individual physically in time and in space. When he died, it was just like the grain of wheat. He multiplied, and now he's available anytime and anywhere. Praise the Lord. Amen. I think I'll pass it over to our brother Shepherd now. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's someone in the universe. Too glad he has the keys. The keys of what? Death and of Hades. When I saw Nathan use the key to get inside a meeting hall, I was rejoicing. Right? We need to realize that Christ, this one who has the keys, where is he today? Young people, where is he today? Yeah, I see. In me! That's right. He is in our spirit. Oh, saints, I really appreciated the example, the speaking our brother just shared, and the burden from the very beginning. We really want you to see and to realize that resurrection is a divine reality. It is a divine truth that can be experienced in our daily living, in our Christian walk. And so I just want to continue. You know, when Brother James brought us to this matter of the resurrection and how that in his resurrection, he was like a seed, right, that was sown into the earth. And actually, so this is in point three, right, that there was something concealed in that seed. Actually, there was a divine life that was within the seed. So maybe the brothers can help me share the screen. Go to page nine, okay, page nine. So skip over the verses. I want you guys to take a look at something with me, okay? There's some pictures here that the brothers will pull up shortly. And then you let me know. You let me know what you think it is. Okay, brothers, do you have it? Okay, maybe as they're pulling it up. You know, this seed that contains the divine life has an outward shell, right? And so when the Lord Jesus, right, in John 12:24, he likened to himself as this grain of wheat, right, that fell into the earth and died. So in the previous message, we saw that he died, right? He died an all-inclusive death. And on the one hand, it was to take care of all of these negative things, right? But on the other hand, in a very positive way, actually, there's something marvelous that we see through his death, and through his resurrection, there's a life, a divine life that came forth. So, brothers, do you have the PowerPoint now? Okay, maybe we need to go without it. Okay, well, you just imagine, okay, there is a seed, maybe a grass seed, maybe a carnation seed. Maybe a seed that eventually will become this giant tree, right? When it first starts as a seed, you know, a seed is very small. Oh, there you go. Thank you. Okay, take a look at that. That's a seed, right? And what kind of seed is it? It's hard to say, right? It's a seed. But you know, when this seed gets sown into the earth, right? After some time, okay, now go to the next slide. You'll see, wow, this seed was what? This seed was a seed of a, I think that's the Sherman, the one of the biggest trees, right, in this country. Sequoia, I almost forgot what this seed was. It's a sequoia tree, right? It's so massive. But when it starts as a seed, right, you don't see much, right? You actually, you might even despise it, right? But when it falls into the earth, right, and over some time, as it grows, there is a manifestation. And this is what glorification means. It means that there is a manifestation. There's an open display of what this divine life that was contained of this seed. Okay, go to the next slide. Okay, it's also, wow, look at all these seeds, right? You can't really tell. What is it? What is it? And, you know, sometimes, you know, people look at us, you know, when we were first regenerated, this divine life enter into us, right? And people, maybe our friends, they don't know. Our parents might even wonder, you know, what's going on within you? But over time, you know, through the growth in life, right, there's the manifestation. Okay, go to the next slide. Oh, one day there's going to be what? Glorification, right? One day we will all be glorified and we will see, right, that there is a open manifestation, right? These are some pretty orchids, right? Orchids. Okay, the last slide. Okay. Oh, these are also seeds. And this is actually wheat seed. You can go to the final slide. These seeds got sown into the ground. Oh, and this is what the Lord did. This is what the Lord did in his resurrection, right? He regenerated all of us unto a living hope. We've all been regenerated. And we receive this life into us. And now there is this wonderful manifestation of this life that's within us. So hallelujah for this resurrection. Okay, thank you, brothers. So the next point, Roman numeral 4, we also see that in resurrection, Christ was designated, wow, as the Son of God. So this might be a little hard to understand, but we need to realize that the person of Christ, the Son of God, he is both 100% human and 100% God, right? There's humanity and then there's divinity. So in his divinity, yes, he's the Son of God. But there's an aspect, there's a particular nature of him that required what? To be uplifted, right? To be brought into divinity. And so that's what happened when he died and he resurrected. That part of him was designated to become the Son of God. And you know what? This is also going to be our future. And so this is a marvelous fact, because what this means is now that the only begotten, you know, he was once the only begotten, but now, because he's been designated, now he is the firstborn Son of God. Hallelujah! You know what this means? Brothers and sisters, did you know, you know, we mentioned this, that, you know, there's different relationships, right, that we can have with our God. He is our Father, right?
All right, right now we're just having some audio challenges, but Shepherd will return back to us very soon. No, we still can't hear you, Shepherd. Praise the Lord. Let me re-speak Roman numeral 4 because I think we could all use our, you know, we could hear that a couple times. Amen. In resurrection, Christ was designated the Son of God in his humanity. Christ was designated out of this resurrection as the Son of God with this human nature. So when the Lord incarnated, there was a part of him that still needed to be uplifted. And only through his crucifixion and resurrection could this part, his human nature, could be designated the Son of God. Praise the Lord. I think what I appreciate about this point is eventually all of us who receive this divine life, there will come a time when this divine life matures and we'll also experience glorification, right? What he said, the open display of the divine life in manifestation. And we also would be designated the sons of God with our human nature. So until then, we just need to keep eating the Lord, enjoying him, growing in the divine life, maturing in life so that we can all be glorified.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Ryan.
Okay, so it's good? Thumbs up? Okay. Oh, maybe Satan really doesn't like this message. Oh, we need to stand with this victory of Christ. He defeated him on the cross. Okay, let's go to the slide. I want to show you this wonderful verse in John 20. And I hope that you really enjoy this verse. You have it? John 20, 17. Okay, how about let's read that together? Ready? Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, for I have not ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." So this is what happened when the Lord resurrected, right? There was an encounter there with Mary. And you know what? He referred to us as my brothers, not just my disciples, not my people, but my brothers. Oh, so, you know, brothers and sisters, the Lord, he is the firstborn. And as the firstborn in Hebrews 2, it tells us that he is now leading us. He is bringing us all the way to glory. So we are a people of hope. Don't look at your situation. Don't look at your failures. Look at the firstborn. Look at your big brother. He is going to bring us all the way to glory. Okay, let's go to finally the next few points. Point 5, let's read that together. In his resurrection, Christ became a life-giving spirit. And this means that in his resurrection, he was transfigured into the Spirit. Okay, so brothers, you could also pull up John 7. You know, this is a marvelous fact that in resurrection, right, something happened, right? The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. This is something that is very practical and experiential. And in John 7, we see this, you know, there was a feast, and on this last day, the Lord knew that everybody was still thirsty. How many of you have experienced this, right? You were looking forward to something, looking forward to doing something. And after you did everything, oh, at the last moment, you feel like, oh, I'm still dry. Well, the Lord knew, right, that nothing in the world can satisfy. And so, you know what he did? He sounded out a call. Okay, he who is thirsty, come to me and drink. But what was he talking about? Well, he was talking about the spirit, but the spirit here, we see was something that they were about to receive. And they couldn't receive the Spirit yet because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Okay, thank you. You can take it off. So what does that mean? Well, because the Lord died and resurrected and became the Spirit. This Spirit actually is a very special title. Actually, this Spirit is the all-inclusive, compound, life-giving Spirit. This is the process triune God. And so, you know, just like the example a few days ago, right? I just love all the examples that we've been seeing during this week. In this blender, there's so many wonderful ingredients, right? We have his human living, his humanity, his death, his resurrection. All of this have been blended together to become the Spirit. And so for us today, what do we do? What is our responsibility? It's just to drink the Spirit. Oh, brothers and sisters, we need to drink the Spirit. We need to enjoy the Spirit. And as we enjoy the Spirit, we could touch and experience the resurrection life of Christ. Finally, this last point, and then I'll give a short conclusion after this last point. Roman numeral 6, it was through his resurrection that the Lord was able to impart himself as the life-giving Spirit into all his disciples, right? In John 20, 22, it says he breathed into him, right? How was he able to do that? It was because he resurrected and he became the pneumatic Christ, right? Pneuma, meaning wind or breath. So he breathed this divine life into all his disciples, and they received this resurrection life. And actually, what happened was by receiving this life, something marvelous happened. Actually, in receiving this life, there was a production, or there was a producing, right? The church was produced by this resurrection life. You know, just like the picture of Adam and Eve, you know, when Adam was put to sleep, right? Something was taken out of his side. What was it? It was a rib, right? And that rib eventually was built, right? Was formed into the woman. So in the same way, brothers and sisters, you realize that when the Lord was on the cross, right, something came forth from his side. It was blood and there was water, right? Blood was to what, redeem, to wash, to cleanse. And then water was to what? Regenerate, was to germinate. Water was to produce, right, this church. And so we need to see that actually the church is not something physical, is not something natural, but the church is the product of the resurrection life of Christ. Isn't this marvelous? So we should be full of appreciation for the Lord's resurrection. And so in conclusion, just like our brother mentioned in the very beginning, brothers and sisters, we really hope that after tonight, resurrection would not just be an event. It's not something that happened many, many years ago, but that we would really see that resurrection is a person, right? In John 11, the Lord said, I am the resurrection. And actually, I hope you realize that resurrection means so much, right, in God's economy. But not only that, we really hope that all of us, we can learn to experience the Lord as the resurrection. And this actually has everything to do with our spirit, right? It actually requires us to exercise our spirit, to touch the Lord in our spirit. And in my preparation, I was also reminded that, you know, one good way, right, to enjoy and touch the resurrection life of Christ is through praising. Oh, praising. And so I'd like to read you just a short portion from this little booklet. This is called Praising, okay, by Watchman Nee. And I hope as I'm reading this, you could kind of relate these things to your own personal experiences, right? Okay, so this is in the section on praise and victory, okay? And so the setting is this, Paul and Silas, what was going on in Acts 16? They were in prison, right? Not in a good situation. The wounds of their bodies were not yet healed. The pain was not soothed. Their feet were in the stocks and they were shut in the inner jail, right, of this Roman Empire. You know, our brother James mentioned in the beginning, you know, this past year, it sometimes feels like that, right? We're constricted, we're in prison, you know, we go through different situations in life, and we just feel there's no way out. Okay, what was there to be joyful about? What was there to sing about? But you know what? There were two persons with a transcendent spirit who surpassed everything. And you know why? You know why they had such a transcendency? Because they saw, and I hope over the course of this week, young people, you would see, okay, that God was still sitting on the throne. Who is this God? This God was this Jesus, this God man, right? This man yet God, God yet man. And he is sitting on the throne. He's the one who defeated his enemy, Satan. Death has been abolished. The world has been judged. There's a man, Jesus. He's sitting on the throne. That's why they were rejoicing. He had not changed at all. They themselves have changed. Their environment might have changed. Listen, their feelings might have changed. Isn't that experience? Sometimes we go through things and, you know, our feelings go up and down, up and down. And their bodies might have been suffering. But guess what? God is still sitting on the throne. He is still worthy of their blessing. So what this means is, brothers and sisters, you know, we praise not because things are going, you know, perfect in our lives, right? We don't praise just because we are happy. We praise because there is one sitting on the throne who's worthy of our praises. And so our brothers, Paul and Silas, we're praying. We're singing, we're praising God. How about we praise God together? Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. Who's won the victory? Jesus Christ. Satan, you've been defeated. Your destiny is the lake of fire. On the cross, your head was bruised. Brothers and sisters, we need to see this marvelous fact. There is one who is worthy of our praise. And so this praise is a praise of victory. I'll just finish. When you pray, you are still in the midst of your situation. And sometimes this is our experience, right? Oh, you know, we feel a little depressed. I'm just trying to pray, trying to get out of it, trying to get out of my feeling. But listen, when you praise, guess what happens? You soar above your situation. You fly, you soar like eagle wings above the world, above the situation. You are now transcendent. Whenever you run out of strength to pray and you find your spirit heavily oppressed, wounded, or sagging, praise Him. If you cannot pray, try to praise. When we do not praise when there is no burden, we praise when the burden becomes too heavy. Okay, there's so much more. If you'd like to listen to more or get into it, I recommend this little booklet. But really, brothers and sisters, this is a real experience, a genuine experience that all of us can have. I can't tell you how many times that within me, there's just a depressed feeling. I just felt low. You know, there's different things, right? Maybe related to family, related to your job, your friends, relationships. And just for whatever reason, I just feel like I couldn't get out of it. And so I have experiences. You know, I just go into my car, right? Sitting in the driveway. I shut the door and I just start, praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, I praise you. Praise the Lord. Okay, brothers and sisters, will you join me tonight? How about let's praise the Lord together? How about you? You know, I'm standing. You probably could tell I'm standing. You know, when we praise the Lord, it's good to be standing. So how about you all stand with me? Let's praise the Lord a few times. Why? Not because we feel like it, not because anything we did, but because there's one, right, who is worthy of our praise. He died. He was resurrected. We've been justified. We've been approved. His resurrection has, wow, brought forth so many things. Let's praise him. Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, we praise you. Okay. Oh, I just hope you would practice praising. What if on this earth, what if in September, we have hundreds of young people praising the Lord, walking around their school, praising the Lord, at home, praising the Lord. Oh, you all would be the happiest, most buoyant Christians on this planet. Because anyways, we have the resurrection life of Christ within us. And you know what? He is worthy of our praises. So I'll just end here. Sorry for the technical difficulties. Enemy, you have been put to shame. You have been defeated on the cross. We don't believe your lies. We like to rejoice and keep praising you. Amen. I'll pass it to the brothers.